Get decked out for summer. Arkadeck of Chicagoland wants to give you a deck. 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck built with TimberTech product. And no deck is complete without a place to sit. They'll include a three-piece cushion sectional with a fire pit table from American Sail, the Bella Collection. And Weber will also give you a grill, the Weber Spirit 2 Series grill. From Weber, it says here. Can I mention Weber one more
time?
Might
as well.
Chicago
area. You're getting excited
company.
About grilling season.
I am. I'm already. Well, Kev already started his.
Yeah, I did last weekend.
Over the weekend.
Threw a little steak on there.
So here's what you do. You go to WGNradio.com/contest. You upload a photo of your backyard that needs a makeover, and you could win that whole package I just described, brought to you by Arkadeck of Chicagoland.
Nice.
All right, it's Aldermania today. We can just it just continues on. It's crazy time what's happening around here, and now we are very pleased and proud to be joined by a man who's as tired as I am because we were at the game very late last night. Alderman Brian Hopkins is with us, and everybody's talking about this. Came up in the mayoral election, Lincoln Yards. And I think most Chicagoans don't understand what's going on there because, first of all, we're making up a brand new place in Chicago because people go, what the hell is Lincoln Yards? They were at Lincoln Square, but Lincoln Yards is where the old Finkelsteel plant was, right?
Yes.
Near northwest side of the city of Chicago, so West Lincoln Park, right there at the river in Cortland. And can you explain, Alderman, what is so controversial about this?
Well, you know, actually, I would struggle to explain what's controversial about it. I think I know why it's controversial. But, you know, when you consider what we're trying to do, we're bringing 23,000 new jobs to Chicago, 10,000 construction jobs, a $5 billion project with a significant economic impact, new roads, new bridges, new parks. What's not to like about that? It's actually somewhat perplexing that I've been on defense for months now trying to explain this. But the opposition is real. It's organized. It's vocal. It's entrenched.
What does it want? What does the opposition want?
Is it congestion? Is that number one issue that's cited?
That's hard to answer. I don't want to speak for them because in many cases, the opposition has told me some things that they do want, and I've done my best to deliver it. And in most cases, I actually have. And they just get even more opposed. So it's, you know, there's no pleasing somebody. They ask for more affordable housing. I double the amount of affordable housing on site. They ask for a park. I double the amount of open space and recreational space. You know, we've done just about everything we can possibly do. And yet the opposition is still as vocal as they've been. But I have to say this, and this is actually an announcement. I'm going to make some news right now.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I haven't revealed this yet. I did a poll last week. I conducted a poll. I used a reputable pollster, and this wasn't a push poll. This was an actual neutral attempt to gauge sentiment in my ward. 42% of the respondents favored Lincoln Yards. 27% were opposed. 18% were neutral. Those are remarkable numbers. I almost fell off my chair when I saw that. I did not expect the support to be that strong since the opposition has really had the stage to themselves and they've certainly had the megaphone for months now. I thought that my residents would have succumbed to some of the false narrative that the opponents have spun. But the fact that 42% of my voters are behind me after all the noise and fuss and heat, I'm ready to move on this. I want this passed now. I want Mayor Emanuel to sign it into law before he leaves office, and I'm going to stand by this. It's the right thing to do for the city, and I'm very proud of what we've accomplished despite the opposition.
The mayor's on board. He's made that clear. And I guess there are some who say that the next mayor should have the say on that, but there's a push to get this done.
There is. And the next mayor will, actually. This is a 10-year development project. It's going to take at least 10 years, probably more, when you think about it, all the types of structures we're talking about here. Three new bridges over the Chicago River,
and
major road alignments. And the new mayor, whoever she turns out to be, will certainly be a part of this, even if she inherits certain decisions that have been made.
So where are the bridges going to be? Are you going to replace the one over Cortland at the river?
Actually, that's a good question. We're still trying to fight the battle over historic preservation for the two existing bridges at Cortland.
I don't want historic bridges. I'm sorry, Alderman.
It doesn't sound good. There's not a ring to that.
Opposite of what I want is an historic bridge.
We'd very much like to widen both of those bridges. We're about to undergo significant renovation of those bridges. They're over 100 years old and they're in bad condition, like most of our infrastructure is. But the Cortland Bridge, if you look at it, it really looks like a historic bridge. You could see it on a postcard. You understand why the preservation community really wants to keep that. The Webster Bridge, on the other hand, is not an attractive structure. It's purely utilitarian. Yeah. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to widen that one to four lanes without violating any sort of a sacred, you know, we'll take lots of pictures of it so we can remember it.
But you know what? Put it in a museum. If this is a bridge, there are thousands of people who cross it every day over a body of water.
Exactly.
You know, we should have modern when it comes to safety. Right? It'd be like United deciding, we're just going to fly DC-3s because, you know, those are historic and we should have them. Nobody wants that. So, I mean, I get that there's preservationists, and you can do something that makes it look like that, but that's not the point. It's a public safety issue. It's like saying, oh, we should bring back cobblestone highways or, you know, dirt roads. It makes no sense. Are you going to widen? There's widening of streets.
Yeah, widening Division, the Division Street bridges at Goose Island. We're about to embark on that project.
And is that related to this?
Well, it's not directly related. It's not being paid for as a part of the Lincoln Yards project. It's paid for on separate funding, and it had been budgeted for some time. But we're going to have two lanes in each direction, east and west, for both of those Division Street bridges, as opposed to the, you know, pinch point funnel that it is now. That will provide significant congestion relief when it's done. In addition to that, those three bridges I mentioned, you asked, where are they?
Yeah.
The first one we're going to build is Dominick Street. It's aligned. It's near Southport. It's a north-south road, and it will be a north-south bridge over the Chicago River. Think about that for a minute. It's the only chance in the entire length of the north branch of the river where you can have a north-south bridge.
Everything else is east and west.
There's a little bend in the river that location. So to have a north-south alignment to allow traffic to cross the river without having to jog to the east or west, a lot of value there to congestion relief. The other two bridges will be at Cortland, and then Armitage, and then Concord Street.
Okay.
So $6 million project, I'm trying to understand what exactly it is, because I do agree with Ro. A lot, if you don't live in the neighborhood and you just see Lincoln Yards project, maybe you're not really concerned with the details. You said there's housing, so there's that. There's going to be, what is it, office space? There's entertainment areas or green space? Like what? It's 50 acres. That's a lot of land.
It is, and there's everything there. It's a classic mixed-use development. There will be high-rises. The height of the structures has been a source of controversy, and I freely admit that. You know, I'm an advocate for tall. I think a tall structure, you know, in many ways, there's an economy of scale. It's dense urban living without taking up too much space. It's really the future of urban living.
And you're seeing that in Lincoln Park. You're seeing that all over the place. You're seeing the west, once they start allowing it to be west.
Right. And people downtown don't want to see the character change, and I understand that. But, Ro, you'll appreciate this because you're a Streeterville guy. If you look at the press clippings from the 1960s, there was a battle, a hardcore fight against the John Hancock being built on Michigan Avenue, and that was the argument. You can't put a tall building there. It will destroy the city. No one will want to live there. It'll be horrible. Well, now we have the John Hancock as the anchor of the Mag Mile, and it looks like it belongs there. It's perfect. It suits the neighborhood. Right. It suits the community, and it was a great addition to Chicago. But we had to overcome this idea that tall buildings must be confined to a very narrowly defined place, and they could never be built anywhere else. Once you make that decision as a city, you condemn yourself to negative growth. Other cities of the world will pass you up because they'll be allowed to build tall buildings in various places.
And if we
don't accept that, we're going to fall further and further behind.
And Alderman, we do have in the city, you have to give the Zoning Commission often takes a lot of flack for this, or the people who okay high rises. But they always want to make sure that the architecture matches. Right, that you don't have a jarring change in the architecture. Mm-hmm. As you're looking at the skyline, something goes like, "Where did that come from?" Because they want to make sure that it fits in. And when people see the skyline of the city of Chicago, who are not from here, it is amazing to me how it's so different than New York. Because New York, great skyline, but it looks like a hodgepodge. Right, San Francisco, really interesting skyline, but also, you're like, what? That doesn't make a ton of sense. This skyline does, and because we've also had the great architecture firms here that have been, you know, together to make this, city. And I've seen the plans for Lincoln Yards out, you know, the high rise piece. And again, there's a question: is it going to be 20 stories? Is it going to be? That's kind of the over under, right? Is like about 20 is like the question.
Well, there's bigger ones than that, actually. It started out with the tallest building at 800 feet. And I was at the community meeting. It was actually my community meeting in July of last year when that was first presented. And there was an audible gasp in the room when they heard 800 feet. You know, the murmur just went through the crowd. And you could see, you know, I was on the stage looking down and I could see the looks on people's faces. They were just like horrified at the notion of 800.
Well, people
buildings.
Are worried about traffic. I used to live right in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. and that the traffic is it's a little wacky anyway because you got Clybourne that cuts across, and when you have an angular street, it kind of screws up traffic patterns anyway. It's better and worse all at the same time. And then you've got you know just limited streets. You're gonna have to build more capacity into this. Although the best part of this is it's right off the expressway, mm-hmm. and the idea that they were gonna build like a soccer stadium there that got killed, right?
Yes,
that's I love the idea of that. What happened to that?
And what's the entertainment? What entertainment is planned?
Well, there is an entertainment district that's being planned. It's substantially scaled down from what was originally there. In fact, they wanted to concentrate everything in one section of the Lincoln Yard site where you would have that soccer stadium, which had a capacity of 20,000, which is a pretty massive stadium, surrounded by these other entertainment venues of like a 10,000 to 12,000 seat capacity all around it. So yeah. We eliminated the soccer stadium and we told them you can have smaller venues scattered throughout the site. We don't want anything concentrated in one area. That helps alleviate traffic, and it really scaled back the scope of what this project was supposed to be, even though, as you said,
so you think you have a full compromise here, then?
That was a reasonable compromise, and frankly, I was the one that stepped forward and gave Sterling Bay the bad news. You know, I'd made my decision they are the developers, and after months of community outreach and outreach and meetings and surveys, I conducted two surveys. Some of the neighborhood groups conducted their own surveys. It was clear the neighborhood was very adamantly opposed to the soccer stadium, primarily just because of what that would do to traffic. And the entertainment district got caught up in that, and there was some pushback from the entertainment venues as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the alderman needs some aspirin. I think that's what we have just learned right here. And a decision is going to be made here very soon, right?
Is it going through?
We may have
anything
a vote
standing
tomorrow
in the
City Council. It's scheduled for a vote. There's some parliamentary maneuvers that could prevent the vote from tomorrow. Okay. They can't stop
tomorrow
it.
Could
they
be
can
the
only
day,
delay
though.
It a week or two. And okay. It may or may not happen tomorrow. We'll see. But I believe we have the votes to pass this in City Council right now.
Okay. Alderman Hopkins, thank you very much.
Appreciate you being with us.
All right, let's check in now. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
A former Illinois congressman back in the hospital.